Hello and welcome. It is Wednesday, June 14th. It's time to slow your roll once again. I'm Jesse Caulfield. I'm a writer for the Yawkey Report. That over there, local broadcaster Dominic Lorenzano, party thrower, what have you. Right next to me is frequent guest, particularly if there's big football news, Brian Salem.
What's up, bitches?
And we got it's a pretty good show to you. It's officially baseball season. And we're going to have the finals. We're going to go over the two finals that ended within a 24-hour period.
Yeah, we're going to have less baseball talk, actually, today than we've had the last, like, three shows.
We're going to talk about the Mets, though. The Mets, baby. Love the Mets.
You got to love the Mets.
We're going to talk golf. Mm-hmm. A golf thing happened. How informative is it going to be? Probably not at all, but we're going to try to talk golf. And also, like, D-Hop's in town. We got to talk D-Hop. And Dalvin Cook got released, so that's big news. Some football drama, some golf attempts, some finals news, and we can get underway then.
Yes, we can.
If you're ready.
All right. So I will start things off, and if you've seen in the news, in the football circuit, Stephon Diggs has not been at, I don't know what they are officially right now called, practices, workouts, or whatever it is that Buffalo is doing. And this is not the first time that Stephon Diggs has made news in Buffalo about being unhappy about this, that, or the other thing. But I'm going to go in on this because this is a throwback to the earlier times, the mid-2000s and the 2010s, of the age of overdramatic drama queen wide receivers. And it used to be a time where you put up with it. And I don't think that is that time anymore. Show me where it was successful. Show me the championships for T.O. or Chad Ochocinco or Dez Bryant. It never worked out well. And now we live in an age, too, where running back has been so devalued that all the best athletes all go towards being wide receivers. It seems now the last four or five drafts, there's always two, three, four wide receivers that are going to start right away as rookies and be productive. And I feel like almost for the last 4 or 5 years, there's been at least a star wide receiver in every draft right away. So it's an easier position to replace now. Now, game to game, wide receiver has never been more important, by the way, in the NFL. That is true. But something can be important, but also not that hard to replace. And the reason here, too, with why I was... Now, Buffalo can't do it this year. But I would literally, if I was Buffalo, be thinking, I have one more year of Stephon Diggs, and then I'm trying to move on. Because it's just not good. It's not conducive for a good locker room. It's not conducive for a team that's trying to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. And what is Stephon Diggs actually unhappy about? Is it money? Well, Stephon Diggs just signed a 4-year, $96 million contract, which makes him one of the higher paid wide receivers in the NFL. So clearly it shouldn't be money. Is he mad about involvement in the offense? Oh, we had some down games at the end of the year where he didn't get as many targets. But Diggs, over the last three seasons, has finished top four in the entire NFL in targets all of those seasons. So clearly it shouldn't be involvement in the offense. And if he wants a trade to the Dallas Cowboys because he wants to go play with his brother, maybe that's it. Buffalo would have to take a $35 million dead cap hit. No team's going to do that. Buffalo's not going to do that. So no matter where you turn, what is Stephon Diggs unhappy and bitching about? What does he want? He just wants attention.
A ring.
I don't think he wants a ring. I think he cares more about Stephon Diggs than he cares about a ring. Because they won playoff games and he was mad that he didn't get enough looks.
That was mostly facetious.
I know. I think all Stephon Diggs wants is attention. And like I said, where has the dramatic wide receiver, the drama queen wide receiver, really ever won you anything big in the NFL? And like I said, this position has never been more replaceable. I'd say one more year, because clearly the Bills didn't come into the season thinking they had to replace Stephon. So you're going to have to ride with Stephon for one more year, and then I'd be looking to move on, actually, if I was the Bills.
I don't know if that Chad Ochocinco one's fair.
Why?
He was a career Bengal.
Okay.
He was the only man on that team.
He played.
So he would never.
No. They were good players against, on that team.
He played against the Giants in the 2011 Super Bowl.
Oh, because he was on the Patriots, but that didn't matter. he got, like, what, 13, like, looks the entire season?
Yeah.
One of which was in the Super Bowl. He had a reception in that Super Bowl. I'll give you that. But, like, the Bengals were awful when he was there. His best teammate was Carson Palmer, and again, he was one of the most overrated quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life.
T.J. Houshmandzadeh was a good wide receiver.
OK, Okay, he had one good teammate, one and a half good teammates. So I don't think that. I just don't think that one's quite fair.
Okay, fine.
Stephon Diggs is on a really good team.
Yeah.
So like, but he's like, I mean, we saw this at the end of.
So why are you crying about being on a when you're winning?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's up his butt. I mean, I've heard some things. Like he, did you see his Instagram? He's got some posts on his Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, of the Lamar fashion from like a year ago that we talked about.
Mm. What, they just be capping?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Like, okay, so.
But he threw a tantrum on the sidelines in a playoff game that they won because he didn't get enough targets.
Yeah, I mean, he's very dramatic. I'll give you that. But, like, what is this exact situation about? I don't know. Josh Allen took credit.
A very specific type of person somewhere on the ether that is the interwebs that hears this, that comes from or lives in a place with the most bass-ackwards politics, is probably going to try to have me canceled for saying this, but I don't care where you come from, what race you are, or the color of your skin, whether it's in person, on TV, or it's a social media post, if you want to be taken seriously about something, maybe write it in fucking English.
There's that too.
Dumbass. They just be capping, bro. What the? What? Yeah. What? What?
I like the other one better. My phone been on silent for like 6 years. I don't play them. I don't play them sounds and shit.
Half of those words, quote unquote words, aren't in any dictionary or thesaurus you're going to find in any library.
Not yet.
Not yet. They do be changing that fast. Now.
They do be.
I don't even care that there's two TVs right there with a camera feed that would have concrete evidence that I punch you two in the throat if you say that again. But if you say that again, I might punch the both of you in the throat.
But, I mean, are you going to defend Stephon here?
No, I just don't know what's the problem.
Exactly. I mean, That's what I mean. He just wants attention.
Josh Allen came out and said, like, this is my fault. But he didn't say what happened.
Yeah.
So that seems just like it is literally just I don't even call it locker room drama. It seems to be like personal teammate drama. And he's like, I don't want to hang out with these people anymore. He was there today. He showed up today.
I think Josh is just trying to deflect and just trying to be like, there's no big issue. It's not him.
And be a good leader.
Be a good leader. But
God, I love Josh Allen.
Which is what Josh Allen should do. But at the end of the day, it's a distraction. You're taking away from preparing for other things. You're taking away from being able to properly get everyone on the same page and do the things that you want to do in practice. And if it goes into the season, like if you're just answering questions on this kind of stuff all the time, it's a distraction.
Yeah, I mean,
and for a team that's been really good now for the last couple of years, but moved in the wrong direction last year, and we all feel like as a team that should be in the Super Bowl and need to get over that hump, like. You need winning players. You need guys that want to win to be able to get over that hump. And, like, if Stephon Diggs is going to bitch in playoff games that you're winning just because he doesn't have enough targets, Mr., you know, last three seasons, top four in targets in the entire NFL, and he's mad for one game that he doesn't get enough looks, like, that's not the kind of guys you want on the team.
You think if they traded him to the Rams, he could settle down?
For a year or two.
Yeah. Because he was... He's been quietly one of the most dramatic players in the NFL. Like, we kind of just, like, let it go because he doesn't really get suspended. He doesn't get off. It's not off-field trouble.
He forced his way out of Minnesota. Yeah, exactly. It happened overnight. So it was exactly. Like, wait, what?
Exactly. And it came, like, only a year removed from, like, the Minneapolis Miracle. I know they didn't have a good season the next year, but it was right after that.
Yeah.
It wasn't long. And now, I mean, he's shown a little bit of towards the end of the season, he was getting mad. He wasn't getting targets. And then he, like, stormed off the field. Mm-hmm. When they got eliminated by the Bengals. So I guess this is MO. It's a little strange to have no real explanation. Mm. Obviously, like, they usually would come out and be like, I'm not going to practice until I get my money. Mm. All right, that's dramatic. That's stupid. But, like, we get it. It happens. I hate the coach. I'm not playing for this. Or I hate the ownership group. I'm not playing for this team anymore. I've seen that a couple times.
Yeah.
But they'll say it. Yes. He's just like, I'm not coming. Sorry.
He just likes being dramatic. Likes having the attention.
I only use the Rams as an example there because that seems to be the one and only place, at least in my lifetime, that I've seen a diva wide receiver
calm down,
like get a change of scenery.
Do you know why?
Calm down, because he had a real coach and a real quarterback.
No,
because they were winning at the time.
Ready to
not,
win.
I mean that too, but I think it's because they're in LA.
I mean,
so they're getting plenty of attention off the field. They're getting their ego stroked. They're hanging out with stars. They're hanging out with...
So, wait. So, let's just say, for all intents and purposes, right, he doesn't win that ring with the Rams. Do you think he goes and signs with a place like Baltimore?
Not right now. I mean, well, next year, you mean?
I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't win a ring with the Rams, he might have been trying to play last year. Whereas, if he won... When he won the Super Bowl ring, he was more like, I could play, I could not. Depends on if I get an offer that I like.
I mean, when he went there, though, he seemed rejuvenated.
Mm. No, he did, 100%. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like OBJ has been dramatic, but he's usually been dramatic off the field, at least for non-football stuff. Like, he hasn't usually been a huge, like, I throw temper tantrums in the football games in the same way that a Stephon Diggs does.
Oh, so that time he tried to go 10 rounds with a kicking net just never happened?
That's true.
On that the sideline?
That was a young man.
He was a young man then, and I honestly could get the frustration there after a while because the Giants were trying to convince everyone that Eli Manning should still be the starting quarterback, even though we all kind of knew he shouldn't.
That's a horse with a broken leg. I mean,
he went from...
I think OBJ's a guy that... If the team and the structure is functional, he can thrive. The minute it's any type of dysfunctional, though, he is a problem.
He also went from Cleveland and Baker Mayfield throwing him the ball to
Matthew Stafford LA.
A contender with Matthew Stafford, stability.
And you know what? By the way, I thought in Cleveland, I thought he did a decent job of being quiet.
It was his dad.
Well, that was at the end. That's when he was forcing his way out.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
I thought he did a good job of answering questions and not being dramatic.
Generally, yeah.
In Cleveland.
That's true. I will give you that about him.
It was his dad posting online. Look how wide open he is.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but still, how do you not...
I get
bring
the comp.
It, at least bring it to someone's attention.
No, I... Yeah.
I gotta eat, too. Like, why am I on one side of the formation? Jarvis freaking Landry is on the other side. And you're throwing passes in the flat to David Njoku.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also a situation to be more frustrated about. Like, mm-hmm. as much as we say, like, oh, the Bills offense is kind of anemic, but, like, they still, Gabe Davis can have his good games. Isaiah McKenzie had a couple good games. It's mostly the running game. Mm-hmm. Those games where Stephon Diggs wasn't getting a lot of targets looks, he was well covered. Mm-hmm. You could see, like, yeah, the videos of OBJ's dad posted on social media of him being wide open down the field, but he still, Baker Mayfield still wouldn't throw it to him. That's a different situation.
Yeah.
And Stephon Diggs has still been the more dramatic of the two.
Yes. What do you think about my take that I think Buffalo should look to move on from Stephon after the year? Obviously, they can't do it this year.
That's not a terrible take.
Thank you. Because, like, you can figure it out.
I mean, if they...
You just need time to know you have to.
Especially, like you were saying a few minutes ago, the way the league is trending with the, like, hyper importance and crazy amount of emphasis that the league... It's sort of the way the game has evolved. Mm-hmm. But the emphasis that they put on having a number one wide receiver, they're becoming a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Like, we all say the same thing about running backs. They're a dime a dozen.
Exactly.
You know, unless you want to talk about, like, a prime Le'Veon Bell type or, you know, 2,000 yards on a season Derrick Henry. That'll stiff arm a guy and he'll fly 10 yards down the field.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for no reason should they not be able to find a fairly competent replacement.
Yeah.
I mean, and the only problem with that is you're either going to have to spend a boatload of money in free agency or... You're going to have to reach in the draft because the Bills are at a point now. It's not like they're going to be picking top 10 every single year. You have a legitimate operation there now.
But plenty of teams still don't like going wide receiver in the first round as much. If at least they have a top 10 pick and they're not a good team, which all the bad teams are the ones with top level picks, they usually need to go more structural base than going wide receiver.
Well, right. But is Buffalo in a position where they would need to do that right now?
No, exactly. Well, that's my point is, like, you can have first round wide receivers, but they'll still go in the 20s and 30s because the teams at the very top need a more structural position, whether it be quarterback, pass rusher, offensive line, like stuff like that.
But then you still have teams like Detroit that suck everywhere and they get stupid and they reach for Jameson. I'm going to bet as soon as I get drafted Williams.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But those are the dysfunctional teams. And usually there's multiple ones every year for wide receivers that are all going to be productive straight away.
I mean, after last season, do you not kind of feel that maybe Buffalo should restructure the offense? Not like you don't have to.
Oh, they definitely should restructure.
They don't need to burn it all down. But like
Allen's got to run less.
Yes.
Like far less design running.
They brought in Damien Harris, which I like for them. Mm-hmm. But until like the schemes get better, because there were times where I'm watching Devin Singletary last season. Oh, he's having a good game. And they're just like, we're done with that.
Yeah.
And they'll just start throwing the ball up two scores in the fourth quarter, being like, this is how we run clock.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a structural issue and a philosophy issue in Buffalo with that. But I just don't think you need this kind of stuff on your team long term, especially when you're trying to get over that hump. So it's not like they were in a position to try and plan for this year, so they need Stephon Diggs this year. But after that, I'd be looking to move on.
I get the sense that this is their last chance together. Of like McDermott, Diggs, and Josh Allen.
Probably.
Maybe if they make the playoffs and get to win a playoff game, McDermott is safe. Mm-hmm. But like, I'd be getting a little, if I'm the owner of that team, I'd be getting a little impatient with McDermott and just the.
Oh, I definitely be
the getting, lack of taking that next step for years now.
I would definitely be getting impatient with McDermott, especially after the way he got worked in that last playoff game. Yeah, I would definitely be starting to get impatient with McDermott.
I want Diggs to sabotage that entire operation, get McDermott fired, and then have Bill hire him as a defensive assistant.
Not bad. I'd like that. All right.
I think we can bring in Diggs, and he'll behave here for that one season, like Randy Moss behaved that one season.
Yeah, for a season and a half, basically.
Or
all
like
right.
Everyone expects that maybe Oh, by the way, there were reports on that. Apparently, Hopkins and O'Brien supposedly squashed their beef.
Yeah, I've heard there's no animosity. We'll get there.
All right, so anyway, we're going to move on, though. Take it away, Jesse. Rapid fire news.
All right, the Denver Nuggets. They are your 2023 NBA champions. They dealt with the Heat in 5 games. Speaking of champions, the Vegas Golden Knights, they have also dealt with South Florida in a manner of 5 games.
The ecstasy of gold.
Yes. So good for them.
Good on you, Dom.
Hell yeah.
Spot on, baby.
But will he be able to tell us why it happened? More hockey news. In what it was a great story that ended in such a lame fashion. Billionaire Mark Andlauer is in agreement to buy the Ottawa Senators for, quote, nearly $1 billion. I've never heard of this man before this. And it sucks because it could have been Ryan Reynolds or it could have been Snoop Dogg.
I so badly wanted Snoop Dogg.
But in the end, it's Michael Andlauer.
That's unfortunate.
Oop. Yeah, he owns some medical thing he owns.
We missed out on that one. It should have been Snoop Dogg.
It should have been. Anyway, the Oakland A's. Hot team right now.
Yeah.
They've won 7 straight.
I know.
Including the last two against the best team in baseball. And last night, their fans had their reverse boycott, and it was a rousing success. 27,000 people showed
Unfortunately,
up.
Didn't it come on the same day or the day after that it got announced that Nevada accepted the...
Did they?
Yeah.
I've been hearing... I mean, I didn't hear anything in the last 24 hours, but I've been hearing that like the lawmakers in Nevada are... trying to sabotage that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I still think the reverse boycott, though, at least came after something had been announced that one part of the vote had passed.
Yeah, it's kind of a year late. That reverse boycott.
A little bit.
You nailed it, but it was too late. Yeah. Way too late. Anyway, the Red Sox. They're 3-5 since our last show. They lost a series to Cleveland. They won the series against the New York Yankees, so at least they're winning the most important games.
Yeah, and it was that bad air quality.
Yes, it was. And it's currently the last two against Colorado.
Which is not good.
No. But at least you won the series against the Yankees. So.
True.
Sabotage. Even if you can't win anything, sabotage the Yankees. Anyway, that's for Rapid Fire News. And it'll take it to us our first championship coverage, the NBA Finals. So good for Denver. Good for the Nuggets. Good for Jokic, whatever the hell.
Larry Serb.
However you pronounce it. Yeah, that owner that's like won everything. Is that the guy? Is that the one?
No, that's my new nickname for Jokic. Larry Serb.
Oh, Serb, because he's Serbian. Who's the owner that won everything? You know their owner?
I saw his name today, and I was astonished.
He's won the Stanley Cup with Colorado.
Oh, okay.
He won a lacrosse thing, lacrosse championship. We don't talk about that. We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And isn't he a part owner of the Rams?
Yes, he was. Yes, that was the other one, the Rams.
So he got the Super Bowl title.
Wow.
Too.
I think he owns part of an NBA, a WNBA team, too. Well, actually, if you're an owner, like you own the WNBA equivalent, mm-hmm. if they have a partner, WNBA. Anyway, so Denver won. And what a disappointing showing it was for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. You know, they steamrolled their way. Wow, Jimmy Butler, the second coming of Michael Jordan. Not in the finals, it ain't. And this is the second time the Heat have lost the finals in 3 years? 4 years?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Something like that. And to be honest, I don't know where the Heat go from here. Do you kind of think that this is the end of that magical little run they had?
No, because they'll get Tyler Hero back for a full year, and they're going to go try and get another star. I mean, he just talked about, wasn't it the Heat that were getting linked to Bradley Beal?
Yep.
Mm.
So I don't think the Heat are done by any means.
And not for nothing. I mean, it's still probably safe to say Spoelstra is one of the two or three best coaches in the league.
Maybe.
Oh, definitely. Maybe. Definitely.
But the Nuggets also, they finally, despite having one is considered one of the best players in the league, playing up, being one of the better teams year in and year out, they finally broke through. We said going into the playoffs, like, who's going to pick the Nuggets? They don't win. They don't win things. They're not a fun pick. They're boring. They were boring the entire way, and it worked.
Yeah.
Nothing too exciting. By the book. And, I mean, realistically, if you look at both teams that won the championship in the last 2 days, that's how you win championships.
Yeah.
Boring as hell, by the book, get the right people, keep your head down, and just play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think last night's closeout game for Vegas was that boring.
Vegas scores a lot of points.
If you want a competitive game, it was.
That was a goddamn shooting gallery.
I looked at my phone half of that game, so because it was over pretty quick.
I think the big thing is to cover here with the NBA Finals isn't even about this Finals. I do think it's about the fact that I think Denver could be the new dynasty. And we always say that every time there's a new NBA Finals one. But I always thought there was reasons to not think that the Bucks and Giannis was going to be a dynasty. It was too Giannis-centric. Golden State had the down year, so they weren't in the Finals because that was the year that everyone was coming back from injury. So there were a lot of reasons to think. Obviously, I don't think anyone thought the Raptors were going to be a dynasty because they won because of injury, and Kawhi Leonard, a lot of people thought, was going to leave. But I seriously think there's good reason to think Denver's going to be right back here again next year and probably win, because Jokic has been one of the best players, if not the best player in the NBA for years. He had a full season out of Jamal Murray. And then you add Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. Porter didn't have a great finals, which in some ways is a good thing because that'll get him motivated to elevate his game even more. You have Golden State on the downswing. We have no idea if they're really going to be able to piece this thing back together. You got old LeBron. And you have a Phoenix Suns team that, like, they're probably still a year or two away from being able to get enough pieces to make a deep run. Because it doesn't matter how good the top is. Like, if you have no bench at all, like, no depth at all, you can't win the NBA Finals. Well, you can't go that far.
There's that, and, like, so we talk about buy-in across all four sports, really. But considering the way that league is, right, it's like inmates 1,000% run the asylum in that league, right? Especially when you have a team with a guy like Jokic on it, who is a bona fide bad mother clucker. And even if you don't have a super deep or a super talented bench, the guys that fall in line with him, if when you see the buy-in from that guy, it's much easier.
Yeah.
Like.
But they go way deeper than the Suns do. And the fact that, like, they have four elite players that are all productive scorers, whereas the Suns have two, basically, Durant and Booker. So they're far deeper than any of the other teams in the West, particularly that Suns team. I just don't see the competition next year for the Nuggets.
Not in the West, but, you know, Bucks will still probably be good. And the Celtics don't, for the next year, will be good. We'll see what happens after that. It's It's hard to say because, like, you know, they were that team before this that were like, they make it to the playoffs. They're all so good in the regular season, and then they're just – it doesn't work out in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe this is just –
but that's the natural order of things in the NBA anyway, though. It takes that time.
I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess.
It took MJ a while. It took LeBron a while. He was terrible in his first finals and lost.
Well, in Jordan's defense, when he got drafted, that was all Chicago had going for it.
That too.
And he still had to
but
go
LeBron
through.
LeBron took a while.
And he still had to go through some great frigging teams in the East.
Yeah, he did.
Philly, the Pistons, the Celtics.
Well, Denver had to go through the reigning dynasty for years here, Golden State, and they couldn't go through them.
Yeah, but it's a old and sick dynasty.
Well, now it is. That's my point for why I think there's no reason to think Denver doesn't win maybe even like 60 games next year.
I
and
would
just
say
rolls to an.
What
NBA
if John
finals?
Morant behaves? He comes back from his half season suspension, which is good for him because he won't get injured in that time, and then they'll come back and they'll rule the West like he says. There's no one here that can stand with us.
Yeah, he won't get injured from playing basketball.
Maybe he'll shoot himself in the club.
I could totally see that happening. I don't see it. I know Memphis had a good playoff run 2 years ago and pushed Golden State to the brink the year Golden State won the title, but I don't see it. I don't think they're deep enough. And I think Jaw's that guy, too, where it's like he's a spectacular player. He's a great highlight player. But as you mentioned, the way to win things sometimes is being boring. And he's a little too razzle dazzle. I'm trying to think of the word because I would think about it. Not even dramatic, but just his play style. It depends a little bit too much on the big splash and the big thing and the big this
flamboyant.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, the Nuggets are also not a 3-point team.
They're not,
and the 3-point is very sexy, but it's also it can be just very inconsistent.
Yeah,
it's much harder to hit that than a right under the rim.
Yeah.
In theory. So, you know, if you miss a couple threes, that gets in your head, you know.
I just don't see it. I think the competition that they'll face next year may be from whoever wins the East, but I think they're going to roll through the West and roll on their way to another NBA Finals appearance next year.
I mean, I don't know about competition in the West. I really can't think of that.
That's my point.
So it's no secret that I am not a basketball guy.
Yeah.
None of us are here.
I would say you have one... two more years tops before you have to start putting a diaper on the sick dog that is Golden State.
Mm.
They just they have that thing about them, dude.
Maybe one. I'd really give them one.
Yeah, they might have one last.
They just lost their GM.
Yeah, and Klay Thompson kind of looks done.
That's right.
Yeah, he left.
Did step? I forgot about.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, Meyer left.
Which, you know, is one or two things. Oh, I've done it all here. I want to try something else somewhere. Or he knows it's over.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want any of that blame.
Yeah. Could be.
Which I kind of think it's the second.
It could be.
I mean, they're not getting any younger. Jordan Poole kind of ended up being a disaster last year. And Klay Thompson looks done. So I think that's the thing there. But, yeah, I think Denver has all the makings of a team that rolls next year to another NBA Finals. And I think we're looking at our new dynasty in the NBA. But, oh, yes.
It's not really that important, but like, Jokic's nickname, the Joker, it's not a very good nickname for him. Good nickname, especially with the name, but he's just such a nice guy.
Oh, I know.
Like,
he's a G shucks all. Oh, golly. Yeah.
Did you hear him in the post game yesterday?
What?
They asked him something about, like, oh, how does it feel to be a champion or something about the parade or like finals MVP, and he was like,
I want to go home.
Nah, I just want to eat soup and watch my horses.
Yeah.
Like, what?
He was upset that the
you
parade
just
is Thursday.
You just won a title.
I know.
You are the baddest man. One of the baddest men on the planet.
He's
kind of right
like
now.
Tim Duncan.
He just likes to shoot the ball in the hoop.
Yeah.
And go home.
I put ball in hole. I eat soup. I watch horses.
I know.
Yep. That's all he cares about.
He's a little
simple man.
He's got to have that. He kind of has that Tim Duncan feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, boy, the NBA is going to hate that.
He was generally upset that the parade is Thursday because he has to stay in America till Thursday.
Really?
Yes.
That's so funny. All right, with that, though, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about D-Hop, his visit to the Pats, and then also some other guys who are out there on the market, Dalvin Cook being that name. Stick with us, guys. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll. Moving on. So DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent. He's out there on the market. Did he visit the Titans yesterday? Is that?
Well, it was like 2 days ago.
It was 2 days ago. And is today his visit to New England, or was it yesterday?
Today and tomorrow.
Yes. Oh.
It's a two-day
affair. So D-Hop is here for
two days.
Yeah. So D-Hop is here for 2 days. Yes. He was only with Tennessee for 1 day.
I mean, come on. He wasn't going to go to Tennessee.
I think we all know where he's going.
Not here.
He's going right here.
No, he's probably going to KC.
Bill's feeling the pressure. Bill knows this offense has got to be better. Bill likes D-Hop, too. Because you know Bill's that stubborn old man. He only wants to coach people he likes now.
I mean, there's a mutual respect between those two.
I don't know. I never think we're going to make the big move, the big wide receiver move.
Not anymore.
But I don't know. This might be the one that I kind of think there's a good chance this happens.
They did it with Moss, and a few years ago they did it with Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Even though Cooks isn't like Moss level.
Would you consider
still.
Josh Gordon in that? He's obviously not in the talent level.
If it was,
like, well, they took a chance on Josh Gordon.
If it was 2013, like
well, yeah, yeah,
otherworldly,
yeah.
Inhuman Josh Gordon, yes, I would.
Okay.
But like the thing with Josh Gordon is that was like low risk.
That's a reclamation.
Because they didn't have to pay him anything. D-Hop, you're still going to have to pay D-Hop something.
Yeah.
And that's where this is all going to come down to, right? I know D-Hop is, you know, I've heard that he's a stat guy and a money guy. So it's interesting to see what D-Hop thinks he can get. I know Christian Kirk's making a lot of money. But D-Hop, hasn't he been injured the last 2 years?
He has. He's dealt with a fair amount of injuries the last couple of years. I think that's
so he's never been able to finish a full season. Not even close to it, I don't think.
That would probably be, I'd say, that's why he got popped for steroids.
Probably. Trying to come back from injury, yeah.
Yeah.
But after his suspension was over, didn't he lead the league in receptions?
He did well.
Yeah, he did very well.
I mean, he's still very talented. It's just like, where is his head at? Where is his heart at?
That's my biggest thing.
Can his body hold up?
That is my biggest thing with him. I don't want to pay $10 million, at least $10 million, guaranteed. That's real money that you're going to have to pay that guy. I don't want to shell out that kind of real money to a guy that I don't even know is going to show up to practice every day. The Patriots are in such a weird spot right now where it's not only about, like, all right, let's get the offense back on track. Let's get the quarterback back on track. Make everyone happy again. Kumbaya. It runs deeper than that. You need to fix the culture of this whole team. And I don't know if bringing in a guy like D-Hop does that. You do that, he's instantly, by default, the best receiver in your room. Mm. He's, by default, probably one of the best five players on the whole team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're probably going to have to pay him more than any of the wide receivers that you have, at least on an AAV basis, if you want to go like that. He would probably be making more than what Aguilar made.
I kind of would hope so, because we pay way overpaid Aguilar.
At least you're not paying. You weren't paying. You weren't paying for a receiver entering his age 31 season, coming off of two injury riddled years.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't care.
And the other thing with D-Hop, as good as he is, as sure handed as he is, as good a route runner as he is, where is the sure, dependable speed on this offense? Nowhere.
Tyquan Thornton.
If they know how to use him.
Dude, he just got drafted. He had to sit practice out the other day because of a soft tissue injury.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw that.
Why is a kid younger than me dealing with soft tissue injuries? And he's supposed to be an all-world athlete?
He plays a very physical game.
No, because he's friggin' small.
He is skinny.
Eat a steak, hit the gym, and finish off with a twice-baked potato.
But the press is losing their minds about Thornton in practice again. Oh, my God. He looks great.
Yeah. Shorts and a T-shirt.
He looks great in it.
I think.
I also don't care much about how much of a cap hit he is this year if it's a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, in the future, we'll talk about it. Like, you have to have cap here, right? Who are we paying?
Right. But I think it still sets a precedent that all of your other wide receivers and the rest of the offense is going to look at. And then they're going to see him getting paid more than any other skill position player. They're going to see him getting paid more than any other skill position player and not showing up to practice.
Yeah, but then Bill.
Because Bill's got to massage his ass to make him happy.
Well, Bill doesn't put up with not showing up to practice.
I haven't heard a ton of D-Hop not doing that.
Yeah, he does.
Since when?
Go back to his Cleveland days. Do you think when he brought Mark Bavaro
I don't
in,
care
he practiced?
That. I couldn't give less of a
and
damn
that
about
was
that.
30 years ago.
Exactly.
Hardo. Yeah, Hardo Bill Belichick.
He's been he's more Hardo than he's ever been.
No, he's not. Jesse, no days.
Wait,
why is he canceling practice today? Just so we can show D-Hop his friggin' place on Nantucket and take him on the Godzilla boat tour?
I guess. I don't know
I
what they're doing.
I hope so, because I want D-Hop.
Listen, Bill at least knows. Well, one thing. He's definitely used to be way more chill about talking to the press, but with his players. Every video I see of him now, he's such an old asshole. Mm-hmm. And he always was an asshole, but now he's just like, wow, you're just a bad person. And I love him for it. But I don't mind him canceling practice today. Because if we bring in D-Hop, you're right. He's the best player on this team.
I'm going to tell you another reason why I hate that they canceled practice today is because you already lost two because of a stupid rules violation.
That's Joe Judge's fault. Just spank that man all across the field. You know what?
Bill hired him.
You know what? That's one with the coaching, I'll say he's a bit soft. Mm. But I think that's a man who's stuck in his ways. I know. I need my guys,
yes.
And they'll follow me.
Exactly.
Does D-Hop have a reputation for missing practice, though?
Yes, he does.
Was that just the end times with Kyler Murray, though?
That I believe it was, and I think there was even a little bit of that going back.
But
to
Mac
his days
Jones
in
is
Houston.
Cooler.
Okay. Don't you think that maybe there was a reason for? I mean, he was in two very toxic places. I mean, those are some of the most toxic places you could be in the NFL the last decade.
I'll give you that, I guess.
I mean, have you ever had a terrible job and one day you're just like, I just can't do it today. I just can't go to work today. I'm not saying I'm quitting right away, but I might just, you know, call out.
I guess he's got a point. I just Googled, like, about his practice habits. Uh-huh. Yeah, in 2020 he was...
A beatnik?
Yeah, he was just kind of showing up when he wanted to show up.
I gotcha.
He might skip practice about once a week back then.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, I don't.
And that was in 2020.
So let's pay $10 million cash for this guy. Bring him into a room with a bunch of young receivers, and let that set the precedent to fix our culture that is so broken because of the head coach's poor decision making the last year and a half.
I'm googling his 2020 stats.
See, I look at it like
115 receptions, 1,400 yards. He can skip practice all he wants. If he puts up those numbers. Now, that was, again, years ago.
Yeah. My thing is just like, listen, this team has always, and while they've been mediocre, has always missed the game-changing big wide receiver.
Just for the hell of it, who was his quarterback that year? Can you look that up?
2020?
Yeah.
Was it still Murray? Or was it Murray yet? I don't think so.
Or was it still Watson?
I don't know.
So expect him to be an all-pro.
Well, that was with the Cardinals.
So it was Kyler.
All right.
I don't think D-Hop was ever there when Kyler wasn't there.
I don't believe so. I'm going to Google it anyway.
But anyway, listen, the practice thing and all that, I'm sure that when they do this and they do the contract, Bill's going to tell them, D-Hop, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, it was Kyler.
And I don't think D-Hop's that difficult. I think he'd fall in line with that, especially at a new place in a better culture. He gets out of Arizona and that toxicity. And at the end of the day, this is the thing that we haven't had for years. And we're starting to really suffer for it.
So let's bring
a number one big game wide receiver. And we need a playmaker because our quarterback is not the type of guy who's going to create plays on his own.
You're right, but...
And you got to give Mac everything to see if he's the guy or not. Because we can't go into a fourth year of Mac Jones and still not be knowing.
Now that I agree with.
Let me put it this way. Brian, have you enjoyed the last couple years of Patriots football?
The fact that it's this
one of those last 2 years.
Listen, I've enjoyed aspects of it.
Yeah.
There have been times that
you want to know what my favorite part of last season was?
What?
Even though it was a loss, I was at the Thursday night Pats Bills game in December.
Yeah.
It was so awesome to see the field and those red throwbacks.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
That was the best part of last season. That was it.
You know
that, like, and when the season finally started, because when football season starts, like when practices start happening, I feel like my life has purpose again.
I feel like we got some good laughs last year at the Patriots' expense too. Like, it doesn't all have to be bad.
I literally texted my uncle one day while I was at the Anchor because, one, why not? It's the Anchor. And two, I didn't have enough alcohol at home to get me through watching what I was watching.
Proving our point.
I texted him and I was like, was this like Pete Carroll era Patriots? He's like, no worse, Chuck Fairbanks.
So, it can't get much worse. What's the harm in bringing a guy like that in?
Per my article.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, he didn't. I don't think he saw it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
You read an article?
I did.
Oh, yeah, you got to send me that.
It will be coming soon.
Yeah, I'll send it
to you. Oh, is it not like published yet?
It's not published, but it's.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll send it to you after
the show. It's ready.
I'll send it to you after the show.
Okay.
But yeah, and you know the other reason why I think there's a high chance this deal gets done? For the same reason that you talked about, but also from up in the room with Robert Kraft. Because Kraft, too, as a businessman, is looking at this like.
Bro, I'm going to die soon.
Also, not even that. It's like.
I can't have the biggest part of my brand be Bill Belichick.
Well, yeah, and it's just like your team has been just a bad product now for like 2-3 years. Just like a boring watch.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL kicked him off one of the primetime games last year for somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, as a businessman, like, it's just a bad, boring product.
Sure.
And D-Hop will get some excitement and you would think should alleviate some of the boringness. So.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why I actually think this one is going to happen.
Oh, I don't think it's going to happen, but I can think of a lot of reasons why it should. Mm. Especially if it's short term. Because if it's 1 year, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Give him all the money. Give him my money.
At Slow Your Roll on Instagram, where does Mac Jones rank on the list of all the quarterbacks that DeAndre Hopkins has had to play with / been subjected to?
Oh, probably first, right?
No. Second or third?
Because Watson's better.
Well, I mean, it's Watson.
That Deshaun Watson was better. Not
it's the, Watson and Murray, right? How many actually quarterbacks has he dealt with?
Watson, Murray.
No, he was, but wasn't he?
Tom Savage, Osweiler.
Yeah. He was.
Did he play with Osweiler?
Yeah, he did. He was in Houston before Watson got there.
Houston
not for
drafted
long,
him
but,
at 13. You got to remember, he's been around a little while.
He's in his 30s. He's 31. Deshaun's still in his 20s.
Okay. I mean, so I guess third.
Matt Schaub.
If we're being serious.
Ah, Matt Schaub. That was a good one. Matt Schaub's first.
Can you tell I watch too much football?
Anyway, though, from one guy who's out on the market who I do think is going to make money to another guy who I think is going to be solely disappointed in what he gets offered.
Blame Zeke. Hashtag blame Zeke.
Yeah, hashtag blame Zeke. All running backs. Hashtag blame Zeke. Because Dalvin Cook is trying to get $10 million a year, and I don't think Dalvin is going to get it. And there's no reason that he should. He's dealt with injuries the past couple of years. And Dalvin Cook has had 1,503 touches in his NFL career. That's a lot of touches. He has 4 straight seasons of 250 or more carries and over 1,000 yards. And he's going to reach his 20. He's going to be 28 years old. This is about the time that the running back starts to decline. And you could make a serious argument that Dalvin Cook has one more year left. Maybe not even. Maybe this next season could even be the cliff. But the runway here for Dalvin, there's not much left.
Now, do you...
And that's why the Vikings released him.
Is that on the condition that he's the feature back?
But, I mean, but he wants $10 million.
Well, I just mean from a sense of, like, he's going to fall off the cliff.
Yeah, so if he's the feature back who's getting all those carries. Yes, exactly. But at the end of the day, if he wants $10 million, you better be the feature back.
He got 1,000 yards last year?
Yeah, he did.
Still... And 250 touches?
Yes.
I feel like they had a lot of Alexander Mattison going last year.
They worked Mattison in a little bit more, but no, Dalvin still had plenty of touches.
Interesting. I know he was still the number one, and yeah, he did start slow, but I'm still surprised he had that many touches and that many yards.
Yeah, no, he still did. And it's just, this is the sad reality of things now for running backs. It's just like, you're just not that valuable.
Where did the Frank Gores of the world go?
They still exist. It's just the fact of the matter is running backs just not as valuable anymore. And to keep people fresh and to keep things cheap, we're all going to try and do running back by committees.
Individual running backs aren't that valuable anymore, but the running back position, especially after last year, like so many teams
having a running game is important, but the individual running back is not that important. And certainly not the days of the star running back making a ton of money. It's not that important anymore. And They don't last long. And as you said, no running back is getting a big contract anymore after what happened to Zeke.
Why don't they last long anymore?
It's
why
just not going
so
to
many
happen.
Injuries
and if you want to be that valuable as a running back, you have to be multi-versatile. Like, you have to be an elite route runner and pass catcher.
Maybe because
you have to be that Christian
McCaffrey.
I guess, but
yeah, the game's gotten faster. They have more responsibilities now, like Dom just said, in the passing game. Granted, back in the day when, like, the game was centered, pardon the pun, around running the ball, mm-hmm. and if you threw a pass more than 7 yards, it was gonna go to the house.
Like, yeah, if you completed it,
you could just beat the bag out of someone mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. But to the defense of the position now, it's not like they were going across the middle.
Mm-hmm. I guess. It is just strange that as the game has moved away from that position, they are lasting not as long as they used to. Mm. That is just an odd thing.
No, it is. It's a weird correlation.
But there is, like, you know, the players are bigger, they are faster, therefore the hits are harder. Mm-hmm. So I get that aspect, but you kind of just think, like, if they're just less involved, they'll be able to last longer than to age 28.
And then the other thing, though, is just it becomes a money thing, though, too. That's the other reason why they don't last as long. Because these guys, they at least maybe they weren't as fast as they used to be, but as long as they stayed healthy enough, you'd keep chugging them out there, and they'd still be consistent, and they'd get some touchdowns and 3-4 yards a carry. But, like, the minute that Zeke's not elite anymore, we're paying him too much damn money, and we have to get rid of him. We have to release him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they fall apart so much faster now. Like, for example, Jonathan Taylor had a great first couple seasons in the NFL mm-hmm. and was healthy the entire time. Did we all not look at each other and be like, well, he's definitely going to get injured this season?
Yeah.
And he did.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. But, I mean, in general, Dalvin Cook trying to get $10 million, I think he's going to be very disappointed with the market that he gets. Because at this point, why would you ever pay a running back?
If I'm Dalvin Cook, I'm going to look for something in the neighborhood of, like, 2 years, $7 million per, use me on third down.
Mm. That's a lot for a third down, man.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a third down, man.
No, when he's on, he's one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, at age 28, he was a guarantee to miss, like, 4 to 5 games a year mm-hmm. for years at this point, and now he's 28.
Like, if Buffalo had the money to go after him, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to bring him in.
That'd be a good running back crew. Harris and Cook.
And Dalvin's younger brother.
Oh, is he still there?
I think so.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
At this point, by the way, I just want to say this. At this point, if you're a running back, now, obviously, you have to be an elite one, top tier, first round pick, or at least worth it, and pass catcher, have everything. But at this point, if you want to get paid as a running back, are you almost better off just doing it after your rookie season and just holding your organization's, like, feet to the flames and just, like, threatening everything in the book? Just like, listen, at least you're paying me now when I'm a rookie. I mean, at least you're paying me now when I'm in my prime years, but, like, I want an extension now. Other than do the Dalvin Cook thing, and now at 27, after I've been productive for 4 or 5 years, that I think that I should get paid.
So what you're saying is do the Dalvin Cook thing or do the Zeke thing?
No, because Zeke was still after a couple of years.
What's the incentive of the team to do that, though?
I mean, like I said, you have to be a certain level of...
Oh, you're going to be cheap for your prime years, and then you're going to not really have an incentive to pay you? Go away. We'll just draft someone else in 5 years.
Or 5 years. But you don't think if Bijan Robinson, who they literally used a first round, 8th overall pick, could threaten everything in the book to at least get some sort of money in an extension, that Atlanta wouldn't be feeling like they kind of have to do it?
I mean, maybe. But again, what's your incentive as the team? Because if he's as good as advertised and he can immediately make a huge splash in the NFL, how many touches is he going to get a season? And then by the end of his rookie contract, I don't want to pay him.
How long is the rookie contract as a running back?
Well, depends.
Yeah, it depends on when he was drafted.
Are you first round or not?
I think it's 4 years.
Okay.
Every rookie deal is 4 years unless you're a first rounder. That comes with the 5th-year option.
I mean,
he's got a 5th option then.
I'm not saying you have to ask for something super long, but, like, if you just threaten everything in the book, Bijan Robinson has a great rookie season. Atlanta used that premium pick on him. He's their whole offense. And he goes to them and he goes, I will sit out. I will do a what do they call it? A lockout or whatever.
Holdout.
A holdout. Unless I at least get, like, a 2-year extension off my thing. worth a good amount of money per year.
Based on how Philly, or based on how teams have been playing recently with all these running backs and running back committee, you slap them on the back and say, have fun.
Okay.
Send picks.
Okay. Maybe. I just...
Has it ever worked out for a running back to sit out? Even like half a season.
Yeah, but those were dudes who were doing it, as I just mentioned, after 4 years of high production. Whereas, like, you might as well do it at your youngest.
I guess.
To at least get guaranteed something.
I laugh in the face of any running back that tries to hold out now.
Okay.
And Saquon Barkley is about to try to do that.
I know, and I wouldn't pay him anything.
I laugh in any... I mean,
but don't you at least think it makes more sense for the 22-year-old to hold out than the 27-year-old?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. But it makes no sense from the team's perspective.
The longer this conversation goes on and the deeper we delve into this topic, the more I am starting to be convinced that Lamar Jackson is a running back.
What? But, like, I'm not saying if I was the owner of the team, right, or the GM, like you're saying, and Bijan did that, I probably would still tell him to go take a hike. All I'm saying is you can get – listen – the Giants overpaid Daniel Jones when the rest of the league, there's no way they would have paid Daniel Jones. You can get the GM of certain teams, especially if you're on a dumb team, to do things that they shouldn't do.
Did they overpay?
All I'm saying is, don't you think you have a better chance at 22 to at least get an extra 2 years off, a 2 year extension at least for some guaranteed money, than doing Dalvin Cook at 27 and thinking that he's going to get a contract?
So two things here real quick. Before I lose my train of thought. One, about Daniel Jones getting $40 million. Is that solely because the Giants are stupid? Solely because the market is what it is? Or both?
I mean, it's a combination of both, but I think most GMs were sitting there going, we wouldn't have paid Daniel Jones.
Well, fine, but let's not get someone in trouble for something that's not entirely their fault.
Okay.
Two.
You can shame them, though.
Yes. Two, I mentioned Jackson because this running back conversation is effectively the same thing that we talked about a few weeks ago when we were getting into going over Lamar's contract and then talking about Burrow's potential extension. Mm-hmm. Like, because we're talking about now, if you're going to draft a running back like that, mm-hmm. make him happy, pay him early while he's still worth that money. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Pay Jackson now. Don't pay him an absurd amount. Mm-hmm. So that way there, you're not wasting. You're just throwing money out the window and hemorrhaging money mm-hmm. later on in his career mm-hmm. because the guy can't walk.
Yeah. No, I get you. And I mean, it sounds like you're on the same wavelength as me, at least in the fact of like, listen, if I was a running back, I think that's a better chance for me to get paid.
It makes most sense for both parties anyways.
Yeah. Again, that doesn't mean you can cower a GM into doing it.
It makes sense for the player's perspective.
But like, what do you think Dalvin's going to get?
Six.
I think
five,
he gets...
six.
How much, for how long, too? Like, I think he gets, like, 2 years.
I think he'll get 2 to 3 years, and it might be very front-loaded.
Yeah.
But it'll average, like, 5 to 6.
You have that or I bet you the third
year's an option, or at least it's structured in a way that by the third year the team could cut him. And
well, that's what I mean. He might get that $10 million for the first year, but it won't average out to $10 million a year.
Yeah.
You remember the deal that Belichick gave Revis?
No.
Yeah, in 2014.
No. I don't remember the numbers.
It was a 2 year deal.
Yeah.
But that second year was phony. So the optics of the contract were, I think, like 2 years and $24 million, but that second year was a bullshit year.
That's what they did for AB for those two games or that one game he played.
Yeah.
Like it was technically a 2 year deal, but there was like $5 in that second year. Mm-hmm. Teams, this is the NFL. No, money's fake.
Everyone gets stupid at some point or another, anyways, too. That's the other thing.
I just don't see it. I think he's lucky if he gets six.
I mean, Bill spent $10 million to
for average.
Mm-hmm. I think it really could
Where does
be.
He go?
Buffalo, potentially. You could make the argument. I mean, Carolina might kick the tires on that.
If KC trades Chris Jones and they free up $20 million.
No, they have Pacheco, dude. No, they have Pacheco. Remember? And they have Jared McKinney to catch passes out of the backfield, too. There's no
this
way.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think KC would.
No, I think they'll spend money on D-Hop.
You could see Denver.
They don't have the money.
You could see Denver.
For D-Hop? Even after losing Chris Jones and
I thought you were talking about Dalvin Cook.
No, I could see KC just taking. Yeah, but when you bring up KC, I was like, I think they'll take D Hop and not really look at Cook.
Oh, yeah. I think they would take D Hop. I'm
pretty
Cook.
Sure that's why KC and Buffalo are sort of out of the running right now, is for cap reasons.
Yeah, kind of.
But they lost the lineman and
Frank Clark, they lost. Jones, they're trying to.
Oh, they're still trying to bring
contract,
in.
Yeah.
But they also lost, was it Orlando Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did.
He couldn't have been too cheap.
Yeah, no, that freed up some money. I'm trying to think where anywhere else that Dalvin Cook might go, though. Denver needs a running back, unless they're just going to bank on Williams being healthy.
I mean, the Miami talk hasn't cooled down yet.
Yeah, Miami's in on everyone.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that, Dalvin Cook and Raheem Mostert?
Those are two very injury-prone people.
Yeah,
on paper,
they'll be really good for the first eight games.
Yes,
it's like Lamar and OBJ. Until one of them gets
would you
hurt.
Would you be better off never having Dalvin Cook and Raheem Mostert play the same games? She's like, hey, Dalvin, we need you healthy for the first half, and when you're inevitably not, then we'll go to Raheem.
Maybe.
That'd probably be the only way to ensure that they're both actually healthy, though.
That's my point.
You play the even number games, and you play the odd week number games, and do they still have Jeff Wilson Jr. there?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's the one that plays every week.
But. Yeah. Right? All right. With that, though, I think we could move on. Moving on to the NHL Finals, the Stanley Cup, where apparently I know more about hockey than Jesse Caulfield. How does that make you feel, Jesse?
Can you explain to me what happened?
So you were riding with the Florida Panthers.
No, I mean in the game.
And like, I said the Vegas Golden Knights would win. Not only would they win, they would win in five games because I've seen this story before. The upstart underdog gets really hot, makes the finals, and then they have to not play for like a week and a half, and they cool off. And that's exactly what happened. Vegas took them to town. Vegas pretty much controlled the entire series. The only game Florida won was in overtime. Like, Vegas kicked their ass up and down the ice. And they did it in five games, just like I said.
I don't think the layover had anything to do with it, though.
Really?
For the goalie Bobrovsky, kind of, yeah. But also, they didn't play any defense in front of him, so there was no goalie that would ever have been able to salvage that.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of defense in this series at all.
That's the thing, though. Once you got to this point, like, Vegas defense isn't very good.
No, it's not.
But Panthers defense is awful. The Bruins defense actually is not very good. Toronto's defense is not very good. Colorado's defense is not very good. Seattle's defense is not good. This was a playoff of bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bizarre. But, like, the real reason they lost is because the way Panthers got to this final was they beat the Bruins' ass. They kicked the crap out of the Leafs, and they physically manhandled Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a toll. And, like, sure, there's a good way to win the Stanley Cup Finals is to be the tougher team. But, like, if your bodies don't hold up, it's not going to matter. And that's I feel like that was more the case. When Tkachuk didn't play Game 5, it was already over.
I heard a snippet from Paul Maurice in the post game last night saying that the majority of their injuries came from the first round.
Oh, Ekblad broke his foot against the Bruins.
Yep.
He also suffered two shoulder dislocations and an oblique tear.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Matthew Tkachuk played Game 4 with a broken sternum.
They had to help him get dressed.
Yeah, his brother had to get him out of bed. So, like, they were devastated. Radko Gudas, we know, had an injury. He wasn't 100%. That's another big body. Barkov suffered an injury at one point during this playoff. But if you look at the other end, Vegas had none of that. They didn't have any of those problems. They didn't have to play the rough game to get here. The West was not nearly as physical as the East was. So they came in healthy.
Fresh as bread.
Yep. Their biggest concern was defense, but everyone's defense sucked. It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And goaltending, and they got just one of those elite performances from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter at that point. So as much as I thought going into this series, oh, the physicality of Florida's just going to win out again, they were all dead at that point. They were murdered. So they needed that layover, actually, to have any chance, but they couldn't. They just weren't healthy enough. And you saw it in the games. Matthew Tkachuk, despite playing Game 4, was not the Matthew Tkachuk we've seen for the first three rounds.
Yeah, after Game 4 was over, I said this to you yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
And granted, my pick when we picked the series on the show was I had Vegas in 7.
Yeah.
After game 4, I said, that's it. This is... it's hard enough to come back 3-1 and win the whole damn thing. I said, that's it. Florida's dead in the water. Mm-hmm. They're not winning any. They're not going to.
Well, they weren't playing the same, clearly.
No, I mean.
They weren't being as physical.
They couldn't. They physically couldn't. And, I mean, you saw it from the get-go. I mean, you saw it a little bit in the first two games, and I kind of thought, like at the end of game 2, you know, like as bad as the game was on this final score, in the third period, Panthers continued to play their best as they've done all playoffs. So I thought maybe like that physicality was starting to play a role. The problem is they all fell apart first. Mm-hmm. So then once it started to take its toll, they had to stop. They couldn't do it anymore. No one could do it. I feel Ekblad had a broken foot for over a month now. Mm. Like that would explain, like Ekblad's a great player and usually has his fingers and everything, even if he's not on the score sheet. He was good, but he was unusually quiet for a little while now. Mm. So I believe that probably there was a lot of injury sustained in that Bruins series. I mean, the first four games of that Bruins series was brutal for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Like, there was hitting everywhere. So it's a good way to win a championship. We saw the St. Louis Blues do it a couple years ago. But if you cannot physically maintain yourselves, you're going to fall apart first.
Speaking of the Blues of a couple of years ago in the local hockey club, I want to point something out. Jonathan Marchessault got interviewed after the game, right? And someone asked him what he thought of Cassidy's job that he did this year and what things were like when he first got hired. I think, and this is almost not paraphrasing, I think Bruce brought an intensity that we were lacking and we sorely needed.
Hmm.
It's not the fucking coach. It's you assholes.
The Bruins or the local hockey club.
The local hockey club.
Now, I mean, I think Bruce is a good coach. We've speculated that like he might be one of those coaches that like he comes in, he turns a franchise around, but can maybe overstay his welcome quickly. We'll see in a couple years because Vegas loves to fire coaches like that. Mm-hmm. So if he comes in and overstays welcome, kind of has the same thing on his way out when that inevitably happens, we'll see. But sure, right now it doesn't look good. Massachusetts had their hands all over this Stanley Cup Finals, by the way. I mean, the Bruce Cassidy, former Bruins coach.
Bruce Cassidy. What's his name there? Eichel?
B.U.?
Yep. From North Chelmsford. He's from Chelmsford.
Is he actually from Massachusetts?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know he was actually a native. But anyway, yes. B.U. also product. Phil Kessel and Riley Smith, both on the Vegas Golden Knights.
I know. Phil Kessel got his third cup.
Yeah. He didn't play, though. But he was. Did he play last night?
I don't think he played at all in this. Did he play at all in the series?
No.
He played 4 games whole playoff.
If he didn't play last night, where I only half watched the game, then he didn't play at all.
He played 4 games the entire playoff run, I think.
Also, Jonathan Quick, Vegas backup goalie, UMass Amherst product. Mm-hmm. So our fingerprints were all over this final. Sadly.
But not us.
We were mentioned a million times.
So those Bruins in that record-breaking year. So the Bruins...
break that.
So you think Bruce Cassidy brings the intensity that you need to, like, if you're a good team who just needs to get over the hump?
He's definitely an intense guy.
Yeah.
Like, he ruffled some feathers here in Boston.
Isn't Vegas in a similar position that the Bruins were in? Where it's like, you just got to get over the hump?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little different. Because, like, you know...
Vegas had made it, I know.
And Vegas is like, they're younger. It wasn't more of like, wow, is that window shut?
Well, not top to bottom, they're not.
Well, there's people like Phil Kessel and Jonathan Quick.
Not only that, right? Granted, the team's been around this is their sixth year, so like it's not a long time for a team to have existed. But it's a long enough time for a group of guys to have played together.
Yes, but actually, I mean, from the original team, there's only like 4 players from that original Stanley Cup final team.
All right.
And one of them's Marchessault, one of them's Riley Smith.
Mark Stone.
No, because they brought him in from Ottawa like their second year. Did so he's they? Been here for a while, but he wasn't part of the originals.
Okay.
But like, you know, he's been here for a while.
Mm. I guess so.
All right. That.
Are we good?
I guess. I mean, you know, you can sit there and be like, I was right. All
I was right.
But unless you can tell me why you're right, you're just a crackhead in Copley Square screaming about the crazy stuff the government does. Tell me why, Dom.
Okay, I'll tell you this.
Because Florida...
You may have picked them to win in five, and it may not be on record anywhere that I said it. But before the season started, I said if Cassidy goes to Vegas, if they don't win the damn thing, they're going to be in it.
Well, there.
We didn't have it in writing, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yep.
This one's on audio. Vegas in five. And Vegas won the last time I checked in five. So,
But why, Tom?
I mean, listen, you have your take. I have my take. And my take is that that week and a half, they cooled off, man. It was the Colorado Rockies in 2013.
I also love that.
Or was it 2010?
That was 20. Was that 20? That was 07.
07, yeah.
13 was Cardinals. Again.
Then who was 2010? Oh, is that the Giants who won?
I think it was the Giants. Maybe I'm wrong. Rangers.
You're right. It was.
Yeah, we weren't involved then.
07, we beat the Rockies. Was that long ago?
Yeah. 04, 07, 13, 18.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was 07. Jeez.
Which were probably, other than the 18 team, that was the best of the championship teams.
Probably.
Like, that team was stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Rockies never had a chance.
No. Not after they had to sit out as long as they did, too.
I don't really think that mattered. I mean, you know.
It definitely mattered.
It mattered in their play. I still think the Red Sox would have won that series.
They might have, but it definitely mattered.
Yes, sure. It mattered
especially,
in the fact that it
especially hitting wise. Like, hitting is so contagious. And if you're just rolling for like 2 weeks, like, you can just keep going. But the minute you take a week off, like.
And then had to play Josh Beckett having the season of his life.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, so, you know, you have your take. I have my take. And my take is, you know, just like the Colorado Rockies, Panthers, though, they played high intensity hockey for so long. Didn't they have to, like, wasn't their regular season all must win games kind of at the end too, just to make
like
the
last,
damn thing
last
so like they were just used to having to play all the time, must win games all the time consistently, and then they didn't play for like 2 weeks or almost 2 weeks, and yeah, they fell off.
They only made the playoffs, Panthers, because of a freak loss by the Penguins against Chicago in like the second to last game of the season.
That's what I thought.
They were dead in the water. It was over, and the Penguins were like, we're not playing tonight. And they lost to Chicago, who was going for the first overall pick, and they lost.
That's funny.
And, like, we would have played the Penguins at that point. And, like, they're not physical.
No, I know. That's tough.
Yeah. I see that pops up on, like, my social media feeds. Everyone's like, hey, this is that Penguins game. That freak Penguins game they lost. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's the only reason the Panthers are even here.
You know, I'm not even scowling at that. I'm scowling more at the idea that even if Florida doesn't make it, and Pittsburgh does, Monty still probably gets circles coached around him.
Maybe.
Shag off.
But, like, we would have beat the Penguins.
Don't maybe me. I'm still fucking mad.
What did I say going into the...
did say Florida was the one team you didn't
the
want.
The one team of the 30 teams, 31 other teams, that was the one team I wanted nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm. Because they were so physical.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, with that, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of golf, and we're going to talk about the Mets, baby.
Love the Mets.
Gotta love the Mets. And finish up with our Tommy and Darwin, as always. Stick with us, guys. And we are back here at Slow Your Roll, getting ready to finish things up. Let's talk some golf. LIV and the PGA. Merge. Now, we're not golf guys, so we're going to talk about this as much as we can. But I just find it entertaining because for all the time the PGA tried to be on their high horse, you can't play for the Saudis. Everything that they do, that kind of money. It really came down to the other guys wanting to get paid, and the PGA didn't really want to pay. And now LIV Golf, they have so much money they can just waste it. But at the end of the day, the PGA let them win out. And by the way, do they know what they're going to call the new company?
Because
I don't know if it's going to stay PGA. Now, it probably will, but when I've looked at it, it said the new company has not yet been named.
The PGA regime?
I don't know.
The PGA caliphate?
That would be so funny. But the two entities signed an agreement that would combine the PGA Tour and LIV Golf's commercial businesses and rights into a new, yet-to-be-named for-profit company.
They should call it the MGA.
So, like, is the PGA going to lose their name, too?
They can't.
I don't think
people,
so.
People
but
watch
still.
Just because the name PGA is slapped on there.
Probably.
They want their traditional golf, and they want their respectable golf. So they'll just – they can't change PGA.
It's just funny that the minute that they let the LIV guys play with the PGA guys on one tournament, Brooks Koepka wins, and then Brooks Koepka starts winning all these things, and PGA is like, all right, we got to fold. We need our stars back. We can't let this happen.
Let the stars walk. This is going to happen.
And they get like LIV Golf. Here's all this money. Let's merge. Not even like, hey, let's up the money and try and get our stars back. Just no, we concede to the Saudis. We got to merge.
Well, there is $600 billion in funding behind LIV Golf.
Yeah, how are they ever going to get their players back?
That's true.
Other than merge.
I guess.
I mean, they were sitting pretty. Who could possibly take on the PGA Tour? Mm-hmm. Not only like just in viewership, all that stuff, but who could ever lure these people away? Well, some rich billionaires in the middle of the desert could. But who would have ever thought that would happen? What do the Saudis care about golf? Apparently they do. So like from the PGA Tour's perspective, like I don't know why, like why would you pay the players? Now you should. Those are the people you make money off of. You should give them their share. But like from a business perspective, who's going to compete with you? You have a monopoly on golf. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you? And then out of the blue comes the Saudi Arabians being like, here's oil money and all that stuff. And then at that point, the PGA Tour was never going to win.
I guess.
Let me reemphasize this. $600 billion worth of oil money.
Yeah.
Where is the PGA going to get that? Wait, they can't. Because Brooks effing Koepka is busy winning championships for the LIV Tour. I said this to you guys during the break. If I'm Rory McIlroy, I am out for effing blood. Granted, the PGA was the entity that made me, Rory McIlroy, all this money. Mm-hmm. But I, the one in what? We'll say 200 people.
Who remained loyal to the PGA?
On the effing planet. Not even that remained loyal to the PGA. That's adorable. 100, maybe 200 people of the 8 billion on this big rock that are even remotely that close to that good at golf. I'm one of the faces of this body. And you let all these guys walk. Mm-hmm. And I go to bat for you. Try to defend the honor of the PGA. Hmm. Defend the honor of the sport. Defend the honor of the men and women that have busted their ass, honestly, to get me to where I am. And vice versa. Hmm.
And then the PGA just buys them all back?
Kumbaya.
And the PGA just buys them all back.
If I am Rory McIlroy, I am hiring the swiftest and quietest assassin that money can buy. And I am going to put a whole shitload of money in an account for that person to hire underlings for him. And I'm going to make sure that he collects names and addresses and coordinates of gated communities, and they just start snapping necks in the middle of the night.
I think it's funny. Like, have you seen all the jokes of like the LIV guys showing back up to the PGA Tour?
Oh, I've seen a couple.
They're like just like flashing money around everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's so funny.
They are the ultimate winners here.
Oh, no. Totally.
They got the PGA Tour to cave, and they got what they wanted out of the PGA Tour, and they got a boatload of cash.
Yeah.
So, like, they're winning.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the PGA Tour looks kind of bad. They have to – now they have to bring all that back. They have to merge with LIV. But, like, they were evil people. This needed to happen. They wouldn't pay them. You got to win. You got to come top whatever to make any money.
Yeah.
Because when we were talking about golf and like that golf special.
Yeah.
We were talking about how like some of these guys lose money just to show up because they have to pay for travel. They have to pay for their hotel rooms because they're not important enough.
There was something I heard, I think, either at the start of this week or the beginning of last week on the midday show. And it was about one of the higher ups that works at or for the PGA. Said something to the effect of, and he went into this whole like diatribe about, you know, 9/11 victims and family members of people that died in 9/11. And he correlated it to, I'm not just going to point my finger directly at Saudi Arabia because I can't remember the exact quote. But he found a way to sort of worm that region of the globe into his statement. I ask you now, knock on every single door of every single relative of every single person that died in 9/11, and you explain to them why you just made that deal.
Because money talks. Also, I don't know the exact, like, how much were the Saudis involved in that? Was it a few people with money in Saudi Arabia who funded it? Was it the actual government? Like, I don't
it
even.
It wasn't the government.
Okay.
But it's all Saudi funded.
Yeah.
So don't play Mr. Righteous, Mr. America, and go into this whole diatribe about how that part of the world is what it is, and it's, you know, whatever, evil against America. Whatever, what have you. Don't do that. Don't come out and publicly say that.
And then
sign a fucking deal with them.
Asshole.
I never cared about that part, though. Like, some people tried to shame them, like, you're dealing deals with the Saudi Arabians? They're bad people. And it's like,
well, the NBA does deals with China.
No, this is what I'm saying. Like,
I know, but you're saying from the PGA's perspective.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, this is why I lobbied for the PGA to be on the Darwin, too. It just looks bad.
I mean, they've looked bad from the get-go with this.
Yeah.
But, like, this was the only outcome at this point.
Okay. Maybe.
What else could you do? I mean, here's the thing. You could have
just... You could have sat there and waited for the LIV to fold.
Sit there and fucking take it.
No, but, like, LIV was gonna fold.
Yeah.
And we know it. They couldn't last much longer. Mm-hmm. Because they weren't even releasing their, like, viewership numbers anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they were dead in the water. Mm-hmm. But you... how much money was the PGA losing? I bet a lot. In the fact that all these other stars were playing for a different thing.
You know what this was?
People watched for, like, Phil Mickelson.
Do you know what this ended up being? That episode of The Office when Michael makes his own paper company.
Yeah, I've seen that joke.
That's exactly what this ended up being.
The Michael Scott paper company?
Yeah. Just like, he's going to fail, but if he can just drag it out long enough for the other bigger company to start losing enough money that they get other people fired unless they... Come to an agreement.
I think the players are kind of geniuses for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, let's sign up. I'm set for the rest of my life. I have more than enough money that I know what to do with. And the only thing I have to worry about is sitting next to some probably dangerous evil men for a little bit. But okay, I'm going to rework the PGA Tour in the way I want to. And I'm eventually going to be let back in because what are they going to do? Mm. Find all these unknown stars? You can't just find people that are that good at golf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, I don't know how this the players knew. Well, this was never going to, the LIV thing is never going to last. But, like, it was never about that for them. It's a quick payday, and I'm going to rework the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Because they looked awful from the get-go.
Yeah.
And people try to be like, oh, the players look worse. They're doing deals with Saudi Arabia. I don't care about that. Oh, there were Saudis involved in 9/11. Okay, so I'm supposed to hate every Saudi Arabian? I don't, sorry.
It's just a funny. It's this whole thing has just been so funny, and it is.
It's been so funny because this is golf. This is a gentleman's game. Nothing but respect. We don't
not
care
drama.
About, yes, and it's been just so
messy.
Yeah.
So like on
foreign governments.
So
I never thought I would get so riled up about a sport that is played so quietly. You can hear the grass grow.
You can hear them whack the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a golf guy. I don't care about golf, but this is the most entertaining golf thing I've seen in my lifetime.
Yes, for sure.
And it's off the what do we call it? What do we call the golf course? Just course?
It's
just
off
just
the course?
Off the course?
It's
okay.
Off the course.
You would never guess this by my demeanor, or probably just by looking at it.
Wait, you like golf?
I can't hit a ball off of a tee to save my life.
Oh, okay.
But if there is golf on the TV. And you try to move my ass from my chair?
Really?
You have a burial plot in my basement.
Wow!
Oh, wow! I didn't know that.
It can be very relaxing for people.
Golf.
It can be.
I love to watch golf.
Especially,
I think it is so impressive the way these guys can make a ball move with just the slightest or a twist or like.
Oh yeah!
I never denied how impressive it was,
and
it's just not entertaining to me.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of people that. Just don't you don't understand the nuances. I guess I can understand why it's like, he's going to hit a ball, and then he's going to walk after it. Like, Carlin said it best. Call it quits after that if you find the fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, no, I get it. Like, I mean, I don't understand it, but I get, like, the people that are watching are, one, it's relaxing, and two, you're sitting there like, oh, how's, like, what club is he going to use? How is he going to get over the water hazard? Or how is he going to get out of the sand pit and all that stuff? Like, what's his strategy here?
Like, are you guys fans of Parks and Rec at all?
Nah. It was all right. It was okay. It was decent.
Do you remember maybe you will, but for those of you that are listening,
I never finished
it. That is the interwebs. There was once a line that Ron Swanson said, I will work all night if it means I help someone get nothing done. That is one of the things I love so much about golf. The object of the game is literally to play as little golf as possible.
Yeah.
That's funny. That is a funny way to put it.
But also, like, I mean, Brian, you like golf. I've talked about how, like, I really like tennis, so.
I love tennis.
Hey, good for you, man. It's another gentleman's game.
I try to be a little bit cultured and even keeled.
If you actually sit down and watch things that you're not used to watch, you might find that there's things that'll pique your interest in there.
Mm.
And watching people whack a very bright colored ball back and forth is very entertaining for some reason.
I think it's entertaining sometimes seeing how far they can hit it off the tee.
At Slow Your Roll on Instagram, what's your new guilty pleasure that you didn't know was a guilty pleasure before now?
Anyway, let's move on, though. Actually, Jesse, you start this one.
To the Mets, baby.
Yes.
Love the Mets. Hold on. Wasn't quite ready for the Mets.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But now I'm ready for
the Mets. The Mets weren't ready for them either. The Mets weren't ready for the Mets either.
All right. So it's about the Mets, baby. Love the Mets. And it's like we've talked about the Padres several times, about how, like, all that money spent and this is the result. And I think the Mets situation is actually significantly worse.
Oh, I do too.
Because we've talked about how, there's a lot of money in Bogarts, Machado, Yu Darvish. It's a lot of huge contracts, but the rest of the team is just typical. Who the hell are these guys even? Mm-hmm. But the Mets, like, you've paid so much money to several starters, to bullpen guys, to seemingly everyone in the field, and no one knows how to play this game. Like, Francisco Lindor got a huge payday.
He's
hasn't
been,
done well since.
No.
He's
in 213.
Is he?
Yeah.
Damn. But, like, Scherzer got a big payday. Not looking great this year. He might have finally... How's he, 38?
Yeah, he's 38. I have it all written down here.
Verlander. I guess this one maybe is a little less surprising because of his age, you know, the Tommy Johns. But after last season, like, this is very surprising how much he sucks. And then you have just a situation in the field the other day where the guy just can't... Was it Nimmo?
Yeah.
Who just couldn't pick up and throw the ball. Like, it is getting comically bad in New York. And with the... just boatloads of cash that Stevie Cohen has thrown around. This is truly embarrassing. Like, it's the name of the game for the Padres to spend way too much money on people maybe they shouldn't and to just not play up to the potential. That's just the name of the game for the Padres. And although the name of the game for the Mets is to also not live up to potential, when your payroll is that high...
You're 8 games under .500.
This is like...
1-9 in the last 10.
One of the more embarrassing things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, almost up there with Oakland's season right now. But at least they've won 7 straight. I don't know if you've done that all season. And it's like, again, all this money. I think they're 26 in team ERA and 24th in, like, team whip. Like, they are terrible. And I don't care about, they lost Edwin Diaz. Like, it's not about that. Like, a closer is...
They can't even get to him.
That's the thing. The starting pitching is terrible, despite the giant names. The batting has been... I mean, we point out to the batting, like, you're not a good actually hitting team. The pitching has been worse. So, like, it's across the board with this team. Like, it's just so many... There's, like, names here, but, like, who the hell is in charge? And there was a couple weeks ago... I can't remember his name because I'm on the spot now. Jason Kipnis. Used to play with Lindor. I don't know why, but it got brought up on a podcast. The Mets got brought up. And he looked, he said, there are no leaders in that clubhouse. And he got crap for it. Like, what are you talking about? Lindor is such a leader, blah, 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 blah. I don't think he is at all.
No.
But, like, I think Jason Kipnis is 100% correct. Who the hell on that team is there to shout and be like, we need to get it together, guys. We're not a team here at all. Like, I look at veterans like Scherzer and Verlander, but, like, I'd like them to be, in theory, they maybe should be leaders, but, like, Scherzer's just been an intense guy. He's never really been the locker room leader.
No.
And I've never necessarily heard that about Justin Verlander, and now that this is out, I'm like, maybe he's not. Mm. And it's just a team of guys who are playing for themselves, and it's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
They're stat builders. They're there for paychecks. They're there because it's for endorsements, what have you. They're not there to play baseball. They look like, and it looks like crap.
Yeah.
Love the Mets, baby, though.
I mean, we were, this one shouldn't be shocking. It's shocking how bad they were, but me and you were both like fading this team.
I still thought they would at least compete for a while for this division.
I thought they would compete for a wild card. I never thought they were going to compete. I thought Atlanta was going to blow away with this division. But I did think that the Mets would compete for a wild card. But, I mean, when you go through the numbers here, we should have realized it. We should have realized that this actually had a chance to be this bad. Because we harped on the fact that they didn't score enough runs last year, and yet they never really did anything about the offense. Like, they didn't throw any real money at anybody over the offseason. They tried to get Correa, but they didn't. And when they didn't get Correa, they didn't do anything else. But then when you look at the pitching, Max Scherzer is 38 years old. So far, his ERA is 4.45. He has a whip of 1.24, and he's allowed 10 home runs, which is most on the team. Carlos Carrasco, who, by the way, wasn't that good last year either. Now he's really bad. He's 36 years old, and he's had a lot of injuries. 5.71 ERA, a 1.46 whip, and he was always a high strikeout guy. He only has 24 strikeouts in 42 innings. That is terrible for a guy who's relied on strikeouts most of his career. And Verlander, 40 years old, 4.85 ERA, a 1.33 whip, and he only has 33 punchouts in 39 innings. So the peripheries for these guys, their periphery stats are also just as awful. And I feel like we should have seen this coming for it being just this bad. Because you didn't do anything about the offense. You didn't address that. Your bullpen has always been kind of sketchy. And then you're relying on 38-year-old, a 36-year-old, and a 40-year-old on your pitching staff. And also, it's not like you added them to the stars you had last year because they lost DeGrom. And their answer was, well, bring in 40-year-old Justin Verlander, and that'll be just the replacement, not even the addition to the team. So I feel like we should have seen that it could be this bad. And with it, with the offense, as we mentioned, they never did anything to change it. So it should be just as mediocre as it was last year. And with the age and all the periphery stats I just told you about these pitchers, like, I don't think this is going to get better. Like, I kind of think the Mets are a bad team. I think they're going to finish under 500.
Because,
I mean, usually, like, oh, it's early in the year. But 38, 36, and 40 years old, and the stats of you've only punched out 24 guys in 42 innings. Verlander's always been a strikeout and inning guy. He's not even at that right now. Like, those tell me that this isn't an aberration.
It's not just that. It's just it's kind of the way they're losing too.
Yeah.
It's blown leads. Mm-hmm. You can't hold a single lead on this team. It's so just embarrassing day in and day out. Like, it's just a group of guys showing up to do their job, and no one else cares. No one really cares. I'm getting paid no matter what. It's just 1 year. I'll leave the Mets after. Like, it's such a lethargic play that, like, it's just going through the motions. And then you see that with, like, the stupid errors and then boneheaded plays. So it feels like a lethargic team that's just, all right, we're getting paid a bunch of money, but, like, what the hell? Like, who knows what we're even doing? Who's going to bring us together? No one really cares.
I completely see it. Do you think that they're going to be better or no? I kind of think they're this bad.
No, it's like embarrassing.
Like, I don't. And, like, I think this team is finishing 5-6 games under 500.
I mean, with the pitching, you're like, you know, you're bad at this age. Usually, like, well,
like, you're just bad.
We're reaching the end of the line here. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you can't.
Like, you knew the cliff was coming eventually for these guys.
Yeah,
and it's just clearly it looks like you found out it's now,
all at once.
Yeah.
When it's this bad. Like, nobody's like, oh, man, you know, you're learning to play together or stuff like that. But, like, this is baseball. It's not really how this works. Mm. Obviously, yeah, you need a team that all buys in together and plays together. But, you know, like, if one pitching guy goes down, it usually won't steamroll.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, we'll get right back at it. We'll do it again. But no one seems to care about the game on the field. They just show up to collect their check. And no one's willing to speak up and say, like, guys, what the hell are we doing? Like, we are embarrassing ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, I would rather be almost on the Oakland A's right now. I would rather be maybe a Royal right now, who, by the way, have less wins than the Oakland A's. But we don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you are supposed to be good. You have one of the biggest payrolls, maybe ever. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe the most expensive team ever in MLB history. And it is, like, we know that Oakland's bad. Mm-hmm. But they, it's not like, it's, oh, what a stupid error once again. They're just a bad team. Mm-hmm. There are good players on this Mets team, but everyone is just playing bad. I look at it as a team that has given up already. Mm. And when you're at that point, you're probably not going to get any better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, I don't know if you have anything to add on this.
Nope.
I didn't think so. All right, so with that, we're getting ready to finish things up. You did just show me something for a little bit of news, though, on a topic that we
talked
quick, about.
Apparently, and this just came in on Bleacher Report like 20 minutes or so ago, but... Saquon and the Giants have resumed their contract talks.
Okay. For a little while, I think the Giants said they were not talking to him anymore, but I guess they've renewed talks. And I guess if the Giants are going to overpay for Daniel Jones, they might overpay for Saquon Barkley as well, because I don't know. The Giants just have no idea what the actual market is for anything, I guess.
Yeah, so they tried to tag him.
Yes, they tried the franchise tag.
Yeah, so the season... tag number for that for Barkley would be just over $10 million, and they have players who have been franchise tagged have until July 17th to reach an agreement on a contract or they play under the tag, or they just don't play.
Yeah,
they hold out like Saquon's been doing.
I think Saquon's gonna hold out too.
Yeah, that seems to be.
If they don't get a deal done, I think Saquon's gonna hold out. Which, I mean, go talk to Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
that doesn't usually work out.
Right. Le'Veon Bell wasn't as injury prone as Barkley before he held out.
Like, Barkley's already missed an entire season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, let's finish things up. Tommy Report, as always.
Not much. You see that video? He
threw a ball at a drone.
Yes, he hit the drone with the football on a $300 million yacht.
Really?
And they made it a real point to, in like every article I saw about it, they made it a real point to put the price of the yacht right up front. $300 million yacht.
Whose yacht was it?
Mr. Beast. That's not Tom's yacht. Tom doesn't need a yacht.
Who is Mr. Beast? What is he?
He's a YouTube guy that just has way too much money. Somewhere.
Why is he famous?
Because he like gives out money to people.
Yeah, but I don't know how he got all that money in the first place. Yeah. Well, I mean, he got it being a YouTube guy. But normally they don't have like $300 million yachts.
But like, what does he do?
Nowadays, YouTube, he does random things like I didn't watch the show, but like the Squid Game show.
Yep.
He like recreated that show and like for fun on YouTube. I saw one where like he had 100 people. He paid 100 people to like, how long can you live in this like 4x8 room? And the last man standing gets like $500,000. He does stuff like that. Hmm. He gave 100 blind people sight because he paid for their sight surgery, not because he's Jesus.
Well, ain't that something?
He tries to be nice with his money. Though he still has $300 million yachts.
Yes.
So.
I just want to know how he got it to start.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He probably knew somebody.
Or he just,
is great with money. He probably invests a lot.
Or he inherited.
Maybe, but I don't know who I don't know who Senor Beast is.
I don't know either. It's a very out of our age group thing.
Yeah, we're too old for that now.
Yeah, we're a little old for this one. It's a younger thing.
But Tom Brady hit a drone with football.
All right. So let's finish things up with the Darwin then.
I assume you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you videotape the Mets one too?
I did videotape the Mets one. But I'll do this. I'll do this. All right. Drum roll, please. This week's Darwin Award winner is South Florida. South Florida Sports. Because you went from such a high. You were about to do the thing that Boston sports dreams about, particularly this year. You're going to win two championships. Two different sports in about a week span, and you're gonna have that. You can have the parade together. Like,
how would they time it right? It would have been in a 24-hour span.
Yes, but instead, in a 24-hour span, it all came crashing down. Now, obviously, like, you were both down 3-1. You probably saw it coming, but to lose in that fashion in that span is,
that was like emphatic.
Yeah, 24 hours, all your dreams were dashed.
They were both blowouts too. Like, not competitive, really.
Well, the games weren't, but, like,
That last game, actually, so the Florida Panthers lost by a bigger deficit point-wise in that final game than the Heat did.
Oh, yeah?
Heat lost by 5, Panthers lost by 6.
Yes.
That's a wild stat.
I know.
Vegas set a record last night.
Yes, for 9. Oh, well, they set several. 9 goals is the most in a clinching game in NHL history, and Mark Stone had the first hat trick in a clinching game in 101 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so absurd.
Yeah.
That he was the first one to do it.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, you know, sucks for it to be South Florida. Again, you were so close to doing that a magic thing of winning 2 championships in, like, literally a couple days or maybe even a couple hours span if the stars align enough. But instead it was the exact opposite. In a couple hours, you lost it all. Now you're so sad.
And you lost in 2 of some of the more dominant, like, blowout series that we've seen.
Sure, they were very under-entertaining series.
Yeah.
Like, although that one game, the Florida Panthers won, that was peacocky.
What was the last series that was that one-sided, though, in the NHL? Tampa's
Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah.
Tampa, Montreal.
Probably.
Was that Tampa's first one?
No, that was the second.
No, that was the second one.
Okay, it was the second one. Okay.
Well, do you mean like in a row or total?
Should we count that, though? Because it was
for a total series.
Because it was in the bubble.
It was in the bubble. Oh, it definitely gets an asterisk. I've said that time and time again. But in terms of like how competitive it was, not competitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no. It was right after the bubble where they had those weird divisions. Because the bubble was Tampa and Dallas Stars.
Was it?
It was. Because the Stars used the bubble to stumble into the finals. They're like, who the hell invited these guys?
Goddamn COVID.
Yeah, it was just like, suddenly it's just like, oh, it's the Dallas Stars. We're like, what? What? How did they get here?
Wait, the Lightning won 3?
Well, they went to 3.
They've won 3. They went to 3 straight and won 2 of those 3 straight.
Okay.
They beat Calgary in 06, I want to say. Oh, okay, 04.
Okay.
The Mika Kiprusoff days.
Yeah, and those god-ugly uniforms that they used to wear. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Those were some.
So the Canadiens was the first one then?
No, the Canadiens was the second one.
No, of that team though, that the current team that went to 3.
Montreal was in the middle. That was the second win in that 3-year
span.
Oh,
so Dallas Stars was the first.
Yes.
Yes.
2020 Dallas Stars in the bubble. Then they had the weird division year where they played Montreal. Again, Montreal just like, how the hell did you get here?
Yeah.
And then last year they lost to Colorado.
Okay. So it was a couple of years ago, the more dominant NHL one. I'm trying to think of a more dominant NBA Finals than what we just saw.
Maybe those Larry Bird years.
No, Golden State dusted somebody.
Did they?
Golden State dusted LeBron's team the last time they played.
Did they?
Yeah, other than the one game that was the meme with the JR at the end.
Basketball.
Oh, yeah. The rest of that series was Golden State dusting Cleveland.
This also sucks because actually these were 2 very exciting playoffs.
Yeah.
But the finals were bad.
Yeah, they were complete duds.
Absolutely bad.
The exact opposite of what both of those leagues wanted.
Yeah, yes. Right? But anyway, congratulations to South Florida, this week's Darwin Award winner. So that has been it for Slow Your Roll for Dominic Lorenzano, Jesse Caulfield. And once again, thanks, Brian Salem.
Always a pleasure.
Yes.
Let me just throw something in here real quick. I know I gave a little teaser when I said per my article.
Yeah.
And this isn't to steal your thunder because I know you're usually the.
That's fine. I know. Hey.
The columnist of the 3 of us, but.
Hey, don't post mine anymore. I keep having to be like, "Are you gonna post it?"
I was actually reading some of yours the other day.
Oh, thanks.
You
just gotta click. You don't gotta read. Just click on it. Sit on the page for 30 seconds and click off. I get the click.
But yeah, so I'm gonna be doing some write ups for the Patriots and.
Nice.
Off-season stuff, preseason stuff, regular season stuff. I mean, anything.
Who's football. It? Who's it for, though? Is it
anything?
Just
it's for the page.
No, just independently. Or like you're doing it just.
Just doing it for the sake of helping.
Oh hell yeah, bro! Hell yeah, bro!
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Appreciate it. And like I said, we'll post yours once we get closer to football season.
Yeah. One's already done. I got one I'm working on right now, like a super early 53-man roster projection.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Once we get our own stuff going, you know, we'll definitely post those. And like I said, we'll post it closer to the end of the season.
Read Jesse's stuff when my stuff starts coming out. Read my stuff. If Dom starts writing stuff, read Dom's stuff. It'll be great.
Look on the Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So with that has been it for Slow Your Roll this week. Have a great rest of your week, ladies and gentlemen.